The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back, and we are going to dive deep into a subject that some of you will roll your eyes about, the best running backs in the country, two from Michigan, two from the SEC. But before we show you, they are not from the usual suspects. That's an Ole Miss jersey right there. That's not Bama. But Bama will have to see him. Here it is, Corum. Got two Michigan. Corum and Edwards. That's a pretty good backfield. Judkins and Sanders from the SEC. Ole Miss and Arkansas rated. And the rest from various other schools. Adam Rittenberg conceived this list with some help, I feel certain. Adam, thank you for the time. Let's get right to it. Two Michigan running backs. That would seem to portend well for Jim Harbaugh, wouldn't it?
It would, Paul. And certainly Donovan Edwards, his emergence was due largely to Blake Corum's injury late last year, as Edwards was huge in the Ohio State win, the Big Ten championship, even the CFP semifinal loss to TCU. He's their home run hitter. Blake Corum, though, the things that are said around Michigan about him, Paul, are, you know, hyperbole isn't even the right word for some of the things that Jim Harbaugh has said, other people have said about Blake Corum. So if he's healthy, he's certainly in that Heisman conversation, enters this season as one of the favorites for the Doak Walker Award, but might have to beat out his own teammate, because Donovan Edwards, with that ability, as he showed late last year, to score from 40, 50, 60, 70 yards out, hard to keep that guy off the field.
Yeah, and certainly we've seen this before, but not often, though, that you have two of the top running backs in your own backfield. We could find a couple of examples. Let me get to the two from the SEC, because we know a little bit about both, but tell us how they ended up where they did.
Well, surely, yeah, Quinshon Judkins, no huge surprise for anybody that watched Ole Miss last year, and how he performed did not look like a freshman, did not act like a freshman, did not play like a freshman last year, and the future is just so bright for him in that Lane Kiffin-led offense. Just one of the more exciting players at any position to watch in the country. So no surprise to see Judkins high up on this list. And then Sanders, just a solid player. I know that Arkansas didn't necessarily have the season that they wanted last year, but having him come back, having, you know, continuity at quarterback, even though they will have some changes on their coaching staff, I think does set up well for Arkansas to have a better season. Sam Pittman, as you know, longtime offensive line coach, he believes in running the ball, he believes in power and being physical at the line of scrimmage, and certainly Sanders does that for the Hogs.
Adam Rittenberg with us. Adam, let me broaden it a little bit right now. There's been a big story in the last 2 days about the backup quarterback at Notre Dame, who was once the starter, perhaps ending up at Alabama. We've talked about Buckner yesterday, who went into the portal. We haven't heard anything today, although people in Tuscaloosa feel pretty comfortable. I realize we didn't get a big sample last year, but your thoughts on how this could play out?
Well, certainly there's a connection there, as you know, Paul, with Tommy Reese as the offensive coordinator at Alabama, had that role at Notre Dame, was very integral in recruiting and developing Tyler Buckner, and he was their guy entering last season, got hurt unfortunately early on, but I was out there about 10 days ago and talked to Tyler, talked to Sam Hartman, talked to Marcus Freeman. They all felt pretty good about the way he was performing in spring practice, so a little bit of surprise. That was the feeling I got talking to some people at Notre Dame about this decision. But with Hartman there, he's there to start. He was a record-setting player, obviously, at Wake Forest. And then also the uncertainty, I think we can say it now, the uncertainty with the quarterback situation at Alabama. That's the message that this sends to me, Paul, that Nick Saban wants somebody else in that room, wants somebody else to be competing for that starting job. And Tyler Buckner has started games at Notre Dame. He had been in the mix even this spring, although I think Hartman pulled away later on. He's a guy that gives you a little bit of everything. He can certainly make plays, but he also has been prone to turnovers. And so that's something that Nick Saban and Tommy Rees ultimately have to assess. And if he does come in, try to take that part out of the game and leave the good parts. You saw a little bit of that in the bowl game, Paul, against South Carolina. The big plays, but also some costly interceptions. So consistency is going to be key for Tyler Buckner, especially if he ends up playing for Nick Saban.
And just in terms of the portal, this is not the portal that we saw a couple of months ago. It's kind of the leftover portal or the disgruntled portal. But what else have you been watching for, and what else do you think could happen? Because there's only a couple of days remaining.
Sure. I think there still are some big name players who are going to enter the portal. And, you know, Colorado has been the story, as you know, this week, Paul, with the number of players who went in Monday and Tuesday, nearly 40 players total since April 15th. And Deion Sanders has been very clear in saying, we are going to add some really good players here in short order. How many good players are currently there to add? Not a ton, but I think more are coming, probably heading to the address in Boulder, Colorado, because that's been the plan all along with that program. Who else is active, who loses players, who gains players is going to be interesting to watch, because the gaining obviously can take place after May 1st, but those who are still thinking about going in, that the clock is ticking for them.
Adam, on Colorado, and I think we all agree Deion is just one of the more interesting and exciting personalities, but would you also agree this is a bad look? I mean, this is just unprecedented in modern college football history. Of course, we've never had the opportunities. But for all the good that he has brought there, what are your concerns about what we're watching in real time?
I just think the overall number is a bit stunning, Paul. Even though you want to bring in a number of your top line guys, the starting 22 for Colorado will be a lot better than it was last year and will look a lot different than it did last year. But what happens if there's injuries? They have no defensive linemen right now. They have no quarterbacks other than Shador Sanders, who looked pretty good, Deion's son. But what happens if he gets hurt? They don't have any wide receivers. You know, these are things that Deion Sanders says he's going to address, and we'll see how he does. But I just think the depth piece, that's the big difference you always hear going from FCS to FBS, especially Power 5. What happens if there's injuries? There's just so many new bodies that are going to be in that program that we still don't know yet. Deion Sanders says, wait, and just wait. You're going to be impressed. And I know they picked up a defensive end from Florida State today with starting experience. There's a lot of rumblings around Alton McCaskill from Houston, the running back who somewhat surprisingly entered the portal earlier today, that he'll end up as a Colorado Buffalo. So I'm willing to wait and see, but man, that's a lot of players to have to replace in one offseason.
Adam, before you go, I know a couple of days ago you were out in Oregon visiting with those programs, including a conversation with Bo Nix, who spent those quality years at Auburn, one of the most heavily recruited players, his father, a legendary quarterback at Auburn. What did you learn from talking to him about, well, I think this is his final year, unless he's going to sneak a few more in?
Yeah, you never know, Paul. I asked Bo, if I told you when you started at Auburn that you would end up being married and playing for the Oregon Ducks at the end of your college career, what would you say? And he just started to laugh. But, you know, he knows it's been a journey. I think Bo is such a smart guy. He's such a competitive guy. Fun guy to talk to, just about enjoying this moment, not wanting to leave college football just yet and move on to what's ever next for him, ideally the NFL. He had a really good season, as you know, last year, but they didn't make the Pac-12 championship game. He didn't end up in the top 10 for the Heisman voting. So there's a lot on the table for Bo Nix, for his team, for him individually, and he really just does seem to be enjoying this moment. He talked to me about, hey, I want as much freedom as possible in running this offense, almost like a Peyton Manning at the college level, where he can call the game from the line of scrimmage. He's got a new offensive coordinator in Will Stein, who he gets along with really well. Dan Lanning obviously loves him. And if Oregon is going to win the Pac-12, which a lot of people thought they should have last year, they might have been the most talented team in the league, they're obviously going to need a big year from Bo, and he's going to have to bring people along with them. But it was nice to see Bo Nix enjoying college football, because as you know, Paul, his first 3 years at Auburn were not always enjoyable.
No, they were dreadful, especially at the end when he fled his namesake. Adam Rittenberg, great stuff. As always, appreciate him joining us as we head to the break here. More of your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. And Tommy, can you hear me? Is in Georgia.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, yeah, we got hung up last time. I just want to see what you were also thinking about maybe Georgia actually having a three-peat, because I know it's going to upset a lot of Alabama fans because they only had a chance back in the early 2010s. And I really do think that Georgia actually has a shot. I just want to get your opinion on that, Paul.
Yeah, I think they'll be the pick, and I'm sure you'll probably hear me one day say I think they'll win too. I think the it's just kind of dangerous, though, to think you can pull this off, and I can't come up with what will cost them doing it other than the odds.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people saying that we might drop one to Tennessee. I don't foresee that happening, or maybe Ole Miss, which they look good, and they could possibly win the West, in my opinion, but I just don't see the Dogs having any other problems, to be honest.
Well, I mean, there's no reason to think that, but I don't think the problem will necessarily come during the season. I think it could come in the playoffs.
Gotcha.
I don't need to be the last person to remind everyone of what almost happened on New Year's Eve, but that's the kind of thing where you have an off day, and Georgia clearly had an off day, and you run into a hot quarterback like C.J. Stroud. Kirby Smart won that game, though. We had it on the network here today, and we were watching it, and that timeout was the greatest timeout in history. A.C. is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Feinbaum, I had a great question for you. My question is, let's assume Will Levis goes top five. Because I have him to go number two tomorrow night. Let's assume he goes top five. Would he be the first Kentucky football player to go in top five? And what a matter of fact, Mr. Feinbaum, in a week or two, I'm going to try mayonnaise and coffee all together. I'm going to try it out. You should try it out, too. Mayonnaise and coffee. Oh, mayonnaise and coffee, they love you as much as nobody does. But I love you even more. It's true. You did not let me finish that I love you last night. But I'm going to tell you again, to cover last night, I love you. I love you.
I can let you finish tonight either. The answer to your question is yes. Kentucky had the number one player taken, Tim Couch, 2000, somewhere in that range. He was the first player taken in the NFL draft. He went to Kentucky. Logan is up next. You are on the air.
Hey, Paul. Happy hump day. How's today treating you?
until the last call, pretty well.
Yeah, AC, man. I guess he doesn't get he didn't watch football back in Canada.
No, I don't think NFL Network comes into Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah, I know. Hockey. So I think probably Georgia is going to get I think Tennessee's going to get Georgia this year, man. I don't think they're going to be challenged. We talked about that last week, but they don't have a challenge. And when you're not challenged, you play down to their opponent level, and I think Tennessee's going to knock them off. But what I wanted to talk about, your guest was talking about, did I hear that correctly, that Deion has got 30 to 40 players in the transfer portal? Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So how is he going to build a team out of the transfer portal to replace 40 players? That's not even possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any idea. I mean, he just literally went in there and said, you're fired.
what an egomaniac.
Yeah, I mean, I have to wonder seriously about the strategy. I've spoken to coaches over the years, Logan, including Nick Saban, who said they thought about blowing the whole thing up. But you couldn't do it back in the day because there was no way to supplement your roster. Now,
right.
You can do it today, but what do you have to do to get it? I mean, I would really like to know how Deion Sanders is recruiting all these players legally in the portal.
Exactly. I mean, because he's got to be tampering.
There aren't enough players in the portal to fill his needs. So he's going to have to go behind the scenes and get players to get into the portal, like we saw yesterday, and with Buckner, and say I know where I'm going, so to speak.
Right. And so, speaking of which, on Monday we were talking about, you said Alabama was going to go get a quarterback. Do you think this guy from Notre Dame is going to be? What do you think about this guy, Paul? Do you think he can be the starter?
It's hard for me to believe that he would agree to go to Alabama after being at Notre Dame and you know, having been. He may not be the starter this year, but he could very well be the starter next year.
Okay.
Because he's already been the starter. It's hard for me to believe that he is not being guaranteed the starting job. Now, I know Nick Saban will come out and say, we don't do that. But remember who his offensive coordinator is, the same guy who recruited him, and also the same guy who went out and got Sam Hartman last year.
Right. I mean, I can see that. And I also heard that Reese had a freshman quarterback that he had from California that's really good that he got.
Now, if he ends up going there, will Alabama retain Jalen Milroe? I think that's really the question.
I think he's going to hit the portal, Paul. I don't see him sticking around. I don't see any playing time for that guy. I just can't see it. I mean,
that's what most people would do. Now, it's unfortunately where college football is. It's a reality. We all know it. But it does seem rather cruel.
Yeah, I mean, he put his time in. I hate it for him, but he's just not. I mean, he just doesn't have the talent to be national championship quarterback. I mean, I just don't see it. I just don't see how that's possible. Quickly, Paul, how many do you think? How many Alabama players are going to get drafted tomorrow? You think?
Well, I think it's going to be a number. I think you could have. I mean, listen, the first two are obvious. You know, we had Branch on earlier. You have Gibbs. Who else is in the first round? Possibly, you could have four or five in the first round.
Wow, that's crazy. We're losing a lot. I think I looked at the percentage, only like 45% of production's coming back this year, so that's another reason why.
For all the conversation 2 years ago, remember when Saban said he had a rebuilding year, this year it's not exactly that, but in terms of impact players, they're losing a tremendous amount. Obviously they have good players coming back, but that goes without saying. You know, Kool-Aid and Dallas Turner are among the top players in the country. But what else do they have and that can impact next year is the question. Logan, thank you. Great to hear from you. Alex in Louisiana, you're on the air. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I would like to discuss who do you think is going to win the SEC West?
Today, I would bet Alabama. I wouldn't bet Alabama. I'd predict Alabama. I could hedge my bet later because I think LSU is a threat. I think A&M is a dark horse. I would really like to wait for this Alabama quarterback situation to settle down first, though.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your call. Robert is in Mississippi. Robert, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Paul Feinberg. Feel honored to be able to talk to you and ask you a question. I feel like I've reached the Emerald City.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, I'm serious. I was listening to you call earlier on the gentleman who called about Stetson Bennett, and I certainly have never heard ESPN throwing him under the bus all day long. But I do have a question about that because you have, I think you stated, if I quote you right, that you feel like he is he's not a good candidate for the NFL or maybe taken late in the draft. What are the things about Mr. Bennett that you feel like are his weaknesses?
I think, number one, just raw ability. I think he's a good game manager. I think he makes good decisions. But, you know, how does he compare with Hendon Hooker or Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson and Will Levis? And,
sure.
And I don't think he does.
Sure.
Now, you can be the greatest college player of all time, and we've seen it before, and it doesn't translate to the NFL. I don't really understand the NFL game that well. I mean, I watch it. I'm a fan. But I don't know what these GMs look at. Well, I do know. And they look at specific intangibles. They look at decision-making. And if you think back on Stetson Bennett's career, let's if we could take the national championship game out and the semifinals – day, week in, week out, how consistent was he?
Yeah, I can't tell. I did watch, you know, football. I'm not a judge of quarterbacks for sure, you know. But he, when I saw him, he seemed to have pretty good accuracy. He seemed to run pretty well, had pretty good feet, legs, and had to have some leadership ability to get his team where they got for 2 years in a row. So But certainly there are some deficiencies, and again,
but
I'm not
I think the thing about Stetson that you have to admire is that he's always played with a chip on his shoulder. He always overcame what people expected, and I think that drove him. And by the way, that may drive him in the NFL. But it may. The greatest competitor I've ever seen in college is Tim Tebow.
Right.
Did any of those skills translate to the NFL?
No, but he was not, and of course Stetson is not a prototype quarterback.
No, but here's the problem, Robert. But when you get in an NFL locker room, do you think those older guys care about all this rah-rah stuff? They don't.
No, they care about you being accurate.
They care that you don't make a mistake that costs them what they're trying to accomplish. Thank you. Great question, though. I think you really zeroed in on something there. Chris Vanini talk about some of these quarterbacks that could be going tomorrow, including Anthony Richardson. Chris will join us next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Chris Vanini in Dallas right now covering the CFP meetings. We'll get an update on that from him in just a moment. But with the draft tomorrow, we want to go into a conversation he had recently with a former NFL great Trent Dilfer, who is now at UAB, about Anthony Richardson. Chris, thank you. We'll get to the CFP in a minute. I know that's present on your mind and many's, but let's get back to what you learned from Dilfer, because he was certainly not high on Richardson because of a specific reason. Explain.
Yeah, it comes down to the inexperience. Him and I spent
all day together a couple weeks ago when I was down in Birmingham to do a story on him in UAB. We kind of got off to the side talking about just some other things, and one of them was he said, you know, he probably wouldn't draft Anthony Richardson in the first round because of the lack of experience. And so I talked to him again, and I put together some numbers, and basically Anthony Richardson is going to be the seventh first-round draft pick at quarterback with fewer than 20 college starts. And the track record of those players, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Mitch Trubisky, and Mark Sanchez, is not a good one outside of probably Kyler Murray. So there's just a lot of things that come with the inexperience. He's one of the most inexperienced first-round quarterbacks that we've had in quite a long time.
Chris, he is fascinating because everyone from his coach at Florida on down has talked about, you know, his athleticism, nothing like it ever. Dilfer understands all that. How do you weigh that versus the lack of reps?
The way he put it to me was that the fact that Jalen Hurts has had a lot of success in Philadelphia will help Anthony Richardson in the eyes of teams, because, you know, when Jalen Hurts first got there, struggled a little bit, but then they kind of moved some things around, played to his strengths, used that quarterback run game, and obviously the Eagles had a lot of success with that. And Dilfer was very complimentary of Anthony Richardson's makeup, his maturity, his selflessness. He worked with Richardson back at an Elite 11 regional a number of years ago, so he has worked with him before, and he says he's wired a lot like Jalen Hurts. So the issue is Jalen Hurts played in national championship games, you know, took teams to the highest levels, and Anthony Richardson hasn't experienced that yet. So it's going to take a few years in the right spot for NFL teams to continue that development that he needs to make.
Chris Vanini in Dallas for the CFP meetings. Let's get to the present day, and these things are sometimes not all that eventful from an end-game standpoint, but just being around with the people that make college football happen can be very entertaining. What have you learned so far that you can at least share with us?
Well, I don't expect any big news to come out of this meeting. This is the annual big meeting they do at, you know, a couple months after the end of the season. ESPN comes in and gives their presentation. The bowl games come in and give presentations. The athletic directors who were in the CFP the previous year come in and kind of go through a lot of stuff. But there is a lot on the docket that the CFP is going to have to figure out pretty soon, because not this season, but the next season, 2024, we are going to have a 12-team playoff. And you've got to lock down dates. You've got to lock down all sorts of things that come along with this, because the biggest thing right now is that they're trying to figure out December is going to be so incredibly crowded. You've already got the transfer portal, coaching changes, bowl games, and now you're going to be having home games on campuses, possibly in some places that are having commencement that week, or are they using the stadium? There are a lot of things that need to be worked out over the next, you know, few months here from the CFP.
Chris, I realize we don't know that much yet, but let's move the calendar a year. Right now, December is pretty predictable. You have the championship games on the first weekend. You have this long build-up with the next weekend, the Heisman, and then you start the lesser bowls. When, if you know, would the CFP begin after the championship games, or are they even going to be moved up?
They haven't announced it officially, but the plan is 2 weeks after the conference championship games to give teams the time to rest. That'll put you on the third week of December. The issue is that is when the NFL starts playing on Saturday.
Right.
The Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961 protects college football on Saturdays through the second weekend of December. But now we're adding first-round playoff games to that third week. It's probably going to be one game on Friday, three on that Saturday. Then you've got the quarterfinals around New Year's Day, New Year's Eve type of stuff. And then the semifinals, which will probably have to be on a Thursday, Friday, because NFL wildcard weekend is around that time. So there is a lot of talk among the commissioners and with ESPN and media rights people about how do we set these games, or can we avoid going head-to-head with the behemoth that is the NFL, or can we work with the NFL to figure some stuff out, or do we just go head-to-head with them? Because the NFL has been encroaching on college football time, and now college football is kind of doing the same with the expanded playoff.
Yeah, and Chris, listen, I don't make the schedule, but I mean, you could get a really good NFL game on that Saturday, or you could get a total dog, which would still draw probably more than a lot of college football games. I don't know why the Thursday and Friday would be a big deal, considering right now the Monday night game starts at what, 9 o'clock or 8:30 Eastern time, and it's inconvenient for almost everyone.
Yes, I mean, as we, you know, at the current setup, semifinals are typically around New Year's Eve. We're used to games happening at different times. College football plays a lot of big games on Fridays now, conference championship games as well. And they're not going to be on campuses, so you don't have to deal with that. But these are the kinds of things that the playoff has to figure out. Lock down these dates, lock down these stadiums, these hotels. You know, these things have to be done years in advance, usually, which is why when expansion died, you know, a year ago, they thought that was it until the end of the calendar. So now they've lost 9 months that they could have had to figure some of this stuff out. Greg Sankey in particular was very annoyed by that. So now they're back to the time trying to figure that out.
Is it a safe assumption, Chris? You're not supposed to assume, but I'm going to, that with this schedule, you're going to start the season earlier just to give teams a little breathing room?
Well, it's not going to happen 2024 or 25.
Oh, okay.
There is hope they could push. You know, we have week zero essentially right now. That's the idea that's been out there. Can you move the regular season back a week? Start at week zero for everybody, essentially. Then you play the conference championship games on Thanksgiving weekend. Then you play the first round of the playoff on that open second weekend of December when you don't have the NFL playing on Saturday. But that idea has kind of cooled down a bit based on conversations we've had, you know, over the last few months. But it may start to pick up as you look at 2026 and beyond. So I don't expect the calendar to move backward a week, at least for the next few years.
Just off the top of my head, Chris, and I realize it's neither one of our responsibilities or concerns, but you often have, during those Saturdays in December, just monster college basketball games. That season now just becomes, you put that in a bubble and tell them we'll see you in March, because there's so much happening in December college football-wise, it's hard to imagine thinking about anything else unless you're Gonzaga.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to consider with these media rights, with CBS, NBC, Fox, ESPN. Everybody's got a lot of stuff you've got to balance. Now you've got to throw in these massive college football games on top of that. It's a lot to figure out how to piece it together. And, yeah, college football, the longer – I mean, not only is it we're going to have playoff games in December, the national championship game is moving to, like, the later half of January.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, that'll further creep into college basketball as it is, because now we're going to be playing quarterfinals around New Year's Day. Then you've got semifinals. Then you've got the championship game. So the championship game is still going to be on a Monday, but it's going to have to be pushed back a couple of weeks now from what it is now. And that, like you said, further encroaches into college basketball.
Chris, enjoy Dallas if that's possible. We appreciate your time, and we will keep up with you very soon. Always great to have Chris Vanini on from The Athletic. We have plenty of time for you to jump on board at 855-242-7285, and we are back right after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back with Johnny in Georgia. Good afternoon, Johnny.
Yeah, hey, man, what's up?
We are doing great.
How
thank you.
Doing?
We're fine, thank you.
Yeah. Paul, good to hear from you, man.
So what's going on with you, Johnny?
Oh, doing great, man. Listen, just a couple things. One, the crash up at Georgia said today that Daddy is going to sue the University of Georgia. Well, the only person racing him was Jalen Carter. He needs to sue Jalen. I mean, but nobody else racing him.
Yeah, Johnny, I saw that story. I don't really understand the lawsuit, but, I mean, these things happen.
Yeah. And then the guy, Jack, over there in Savannah. Hello?
Yeah, I think we were having a problem communicating with Johnny. We'll reconnect with him in a moment. Michael in North Carolina. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Paul. I'm calling the spokesman for the SEC, the unquestionable integrity and insight of the honorable coach Paul Feinstein. And I wanted you to comment about Stetson Bennett. Will he go number 199 like Tom Brady? Will he be above 199 or will he be below 199, as I predict? And my sister Wanda says he's going in the first round. What do you think of that?
Well, your sister Wanda will be terribly wrong tomorrow night. 199, how many rounds is that? That's
six.
I think he'll go after 199.
Thank you, Paul. You just redeemed me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I can see Belichick taking Stetson. That's a very Belichickian move. Lowell is in Nashville. Hello, Lowell. Good afternoon.
Howdy, Paul. This is Harvey Updike Jr. Roll damn tight. No, I'm just kidding with you. I just wanted to break the ice with something a little bit lighthearted because I do have a serious, kind of question. But also, I just think it'd be doing a disservice to some of our SEC Southerners who, you know, live and breathe this football. It's our bread and circus. It keeps us sane in this insane world. And, you know, the serious part is we're in World War III right now, whether we want to admit it or not. And I've been kind of looking at some of the history, because if we don't study that, we're doomed to repeat it. And I'm a Vols fan. I've seen you went there, and you're born in Memphis, as I am. And
sure.
I grew up a Vols fan as well. And so, you know, I'd noticed the Vols, you know, been around, been playing since, I guess the SEC was founded in the 30s, and I'm just kind of researching. Looks like they canceled one season in the Second World War completely, and in the first one they were so decimated by the draft that they kind of had a hodgepodge. They put together a couple of little local games, but it was basically the season was canceled both times. And I'm thinking we got to be prepared for that in the same way we were caught off guard when Hamlin dropped down from whatever that, you know, whatever he dropped from, Cortis Modus, whatever they said it was, Modio Cortis. Cardio, court, whatever it was, you know, when you get hit right in between your heartbeat, just so which rarely happens.
So, Lowell, I think I understand you, but if I could interpret it for those who are not following, you're asking the question: will we have football in the event of World War III?
Yeah, because I think we're already there. Like, we're already in it. We've been giving tanks to Ukraine, and nobody's talking about it. Because, like I said, it is our bread and circus.
Well, I don't see, but Lowell, let's look at this from a 2023 world view. Mm-hmm. You know, why did we not have it during World War II or World War I? Because so many people were drafted. Right. I think everyone would echo me here and pray that we're not heading in that direction. I understand why you think we are. But yeah. it would if that happens, we're not looking at a conventional situation like we saw in one or WW2.
Right. Probably be more something like EMP. Hey, I don't want to end on a dark note. Can I just say something?
Oh, and by the way, that was a light note talking about World War III.
No, but really, one last thing. This Abby Steiner from University of Kentucky Track and Field. I know that there was the volleyball player that was complaining about getting a ball spiked in her face at UK as well. Right. And you know what? I think it goes both ways. I think we need to put some pads on Abby and get her kick returning and hit her. You know, it'd be like Mr. Ward from the Vols back in the day. Give her six. As soon as she hits that sideline, she's ghost-like Swayze, Paul. She's fast. But y'all have a good rest of your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. That was extraordinary. Extraordinarily wild and bewildering. And I'm going to pause. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to hit the button. In my life, I've never had a question like that. Someone suggesting that we are already in World War III. Guys, I've got all the news networks on in here. Did I miss something? I mean, I realize some networks won't report certain things, but come on. I think we would know. We will take a break. 1 hour to go right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.